I said, I'm not going to fail. I won't. I said, why should I fail? Because you put me in the wrong school. So they put me, then they put me back into a wonderful school in the middle of Peckham. Absolutely wonderful. With a wonderful head who was an amazing woman. And having been, I have to say, told in my second teaching practice by the head there at a junior school that, are you sure you're not going to stay in London? Please apply for a job if you do. That was a very quick anecdote from that teaching practice. It happened to coincide with the parents' evening, but of course students don't see parents. But one particular boy's father had said, could he please come and see, because Danny had talked so much about Miss Lash. Because I'd used sport a lot to get their interest and to get them going with some stuff. And yes. Danny had really made, he had made some strides. And so this very handsome man walked into this classroom and I thought, well, hey, because I remember, I can see him now. And I said, yes. And he said, excuse me, are you Miss Lash? So I thought, well, I can't be anyone else really, can I? So I said, yes, that's right. Yes, I am. I said, are you Danny's father? I said, oh, I said, he's been a player. I said, what is it? And he said, I'm welling up now, remembering it. He said, I'm so proud of my son. I said, well, I thought, yeah. I said, yes. He said, he's talked so much about you. He said, he's talked about the football and the way that you've gone about it. He said, he's talked about how you had to keep him in, how you explained it all. He said, he's talked so much. He said, you know what he hasn't said once?
I don't want to go to school.
You know that Miss Lash, she's in a wheelchair.
Oh, you see, I didn't even think about that.
And I just looked at him and I said, yeah. Oh. He said, it's not important to him.
Yeah.
I said, well, you've done something right then, haven't you? But I can still remember, because I can still remember my own. Where are we going with this? Oh, is that you? Because it's not me. Because I'd be vibrant. All right. So that was. So when I left, that was in November, and I came home contacted East Sussex County Council, because of course by then, in those days, what you did was you applied for the pool, if you were an NQT. And of course, it was all wrong for me because it had all messed up. And I was just batted and batted and batted. And I can remember, and eventually I got through quite up. And I said, so you're happy to pay for I'm to go off to be trained. But I said, I'm not going to get a job. Well, now, I don't want to say too much about the first job I had. Because I have a huge guilt about this. I was very young. I was very green. I should have reported the school and I didn't. And I'd rather leave it at that. It was not a state school. I saw things that were wrong. I got the job because somebody knew the head. It was a special school. I don't want to say what sort of school it was because it would be wrong. And I started there in the January. And I eventually realised that I left in the July of 2004. Rather than leaving, I should have done something.
Without naming the school or anything like that, was it?
It was a special school.
It was a special school.
Yes. But it was not within the state system. Mm. Some of the children who went there were funded by local authority. It is no longer around, I'm very pleased to say. Mm. But there were practices which were not good. As you know, it wasn't
upsetting.
Yes, but as I say, I should have done more than I did. Mm. But I'm afraid when you're young, you do also tend. It made me much miles much more open when I was older. You tend to think very much. I'm sure I was thinking slightly. Well, it's the beginning of my career.
Yeah.
But that's not right with what I saw.
I think quite hard to rock the boat of an institution as well when you're very young.
Yes.
You think, you know, well, how
How do I do it? Yeah, what do I do? And I didn't ever talk about it to anyone. Didn't say anything. If I had spoken about some of the things that I had done to my mother, I don't think there's any question that the roof would have come off that place. Because she would have supported me. And I didn't say anything. It was years before I even said anything to anyone about why. About why I left. There were other reasons why I could say things that were meant. Then I had a year out of work, and during which time I discovered that East Sussex County Council were definitely not going to employ me. They just were blocking at all areas.
And did they give you a reason why?
Oh, lots of reasons.
Like?
That particular school that you've applied for, unfortunately, no, there isn't access, there isn't an accessible toilet, there's no parking, we can't guarantee your safety. I had that in school with youngsters with behavioural problems.
So what did you do?
Well, for that year, I eventually went into a local primary school and did some drama and stuff to get some more experience, which was great.
So voluntary.
Yeah, voluntary. And I did a couple of history courses so that my brain didn't die, and sort of kept on looking, and then eventually. In September of 1986. Sorry, I'm a year ahead of myself. So that was 2005 when I left the previous school. In September 2006, I landed a job at St Mary's School in Westwood Road in Bexhill, which is a school that. Is all children who go there are funded by the state. It is a specialist school for children with communication, autism and other issues. I mean, when I first went there, it was a school that was struggling, and then a new head came in on, and it is now, by the time I left in October 97, it was already, you know, becoming, I mean, it's now a centre of excellence. It's an amazing place. And in that place, I grew as a teacher. I developed my great interest in autism. And I was said, I'm great proud to say that for some time I was a member of the SAS. I love saying that. Sussex Autistic Society. And I also started to get a great understanding of parents because I got very involved in the parent side of the SAS. And I also learned to sign. Right.
Okay, so Liz, how long were you at St Mary's?
I started, as I eventually said, when I got my years right, in September 1986.
Yeah.
And I was there until October 1997. And during that time, hindsight being a wonderful thing, issues with disability started to affect me when I was there. I started to develop issues with my wrist, which was subsequently I was to discover was carpal tunnel, although I didn't know it at the time, and I wasn't till I started developing trouble with writing and things, which caused me some issues to do with reports and stuff. Nothing that wasn't got over, but I didn't see that's what it was at the time. I didn't have any issues as a disabled person there. That wasn't. I had a lot of I'm not going off track. I had a lot of relationship difficulties. And as a result of that, I thought I was going to move to Manchester, which is why and I also wanted to stop teaching and do something else. I needed a change of direction in my life because I had a broken relationship come to an end. And I needed a massive change. I mean, normally, it sounds funny, so I left in the October. That's because I was ill. I had a stomach ulcer bleed, which was as a result of my having taken painkillers for my knee, which developed severe arthritic problems. There's a surprise after what happened. In the days before they knew that if you took high dosage of particular types of painkillers, you would have stomach problems. Medical, they didn't know it wasn't. I was taking something with a wonderful name, which I've never forgotten because it's such an awful name, Brufen Retard, which is a great name, isn't it? Great. And that caused a stomach ulcer, which bled, and I had to be transferred to hospital rather fast for a blood transfusion. It was all a bit dramatic.
Very dramatic.
The doctor came to see me at home, and in fact, I thought he'd gone mad because he said I had an ear infection, and he came to see me because I said I didn't want to drive because I didn't think it was sensible. Because at that point, I had moved and I was living in Pemsleby on my own, and I said I don't think I ought to drive. And they came to see me, and he said to me, I've never forgotten it. He said, you're not wearing, why are you wearing, he said, are you wearing very silvery pale pink lip gloss? And I thought, what is the matter with the man? I was so pale. That
You've
was the problem.
You got really anemic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned earlier, and we didn't go back to it, that you said later on in life you discovered that you had some internal problems that caused...
Then at this point, this is not then, this is later. Came to light when I first started teaching St Mary's, I got irritable bowel syndrome, which I didn't know what it was. I was very lucky in having a very good GP, very good, he's brilliant at diagnosis. He's retiring at the end of March. And it probably is another impairment related one, because it's one of those ones that is connected. A lot of us have got it, as it were. And the way the symptoms I've got do relate to that, but it's not a definite, but it's... And that has caused some issues with, with diet and stuff, basically.
Yes. It would make sense for it to be linked, because I know one of the problems were that some babies were born without an anus.
Yes, indeed. I was very fortunate that all my tract bits, if you like, and everything. And I mean, gynecologically, everything was in place. You see, I was very fortunate because I had all that checked out when I was in my early 20s. Mm. I asked to see a gynecologist, so that I just wanted to know whether I could carry a baby or not. Mm. I thought it would be sensible to find out. I've got this terribly practical mind, you see. So I went off to see her. And the doctor said, yeah, that seems very sensible to me. Because I had very heavy periods. Mm. And I was put on the pill when I was 16 for that reason. And so the doctor thought it was very sensible. I went off. And everything's in place. You wouldn't be able to give birth naturally, was what I was told, in all probability. Although, you can't be sure. But you certainly could carry. Mm. But sort of what I wanted to know. But so I stayed. So that's when the internal problems. And as a child, I had what was termed acidosis, which, again, you see, it's very difficult. With hindsight, may well have been linked. And in the Christmas of 1964, I nearly died from it because I became so dehydrated and the hospital didn't quite pick up on how ill I was. That was our local hospital. Not to confuse the issue, not Queen Mary's at Roehampton. I'm talking about St Mary's in Eastbourne, just to make life more complicated.
There's a lot of Marys around,
aren't
there?
Also during that time, I first started when I was teaching at St Mary's. I went up to Lincoln, and I first started to realise that I'd got arthritic problems in my shoulder. That was, a new... And that subsequently was quite interesting because I had cortisone injections.
Right.
And one of the consultants I saw, a Sri Lankan doctor, that's not irrelevant, and he took it for granted that I was thalidomide. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not. He said, oh, bother, I was going to ask you something. I said, what? He said, you are employed and living a full life and living on your own. He said, I'm doing a research project back in Sri Lanka for people with severe disabilities. He said, particularly medical one. And he said, I was going to ask you if you would mind answering some questions as you are thalidomide. I said, I'm really sorry, I'm not. And he pushed me very hard. He was the first person, I've never forgotten him. And he said, are you absolutely sure you're not? Because he said, if you are, he said, you're missing something. He said, you're missing out. And I said, no, I'm not. And when he felt my shoulder blades where to put the injection in, and my joke always was, I'm sorry I came without a map. Mm-hmm. And he said, are you sure about that? Because he said, I think there are other people with a map very similar to yours. And I've never forgotten that.
And did
that was when I was about 27?
No.
No.
Because you were just sure of your...
Yes, yeah. I was totally sure.
Yeah. Isn't it extraordinary?
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's extraordinary as well to think that none of...
That was the first time.
...in your family talked to you behind your mother's back.
I think my aunt was very torn. My mother's sister, Diana, was... When she came... She happened to come over to England. She used to come over... She was very good. She used to come over every year to see my mother in the summer. I mean, the fact that she's a tennis fan, it was the same time as Wimbledon. No, I'm allowed to say that, she'd say to herself. And because in that year, in 2009, when she came over, I said to Dave, I said, do you think we should talk to Diana? I said, let's take her out. Because, I mean, my mother was used to go to bed very early, so it wasn't unusual that we might have said, can we go out? And I said, I want to talk to you about something. And, I mean, we spent most of our time talking about mother's care and what was going to happen there, because it was all getting a bit fraught by that point for various reasons. My mother had COPD.
Obstructive.
Yeah, that one. And she was getting, it was all getting very complicated. She smoked. And it was all very complicated. And she thought we wanted to talk something about her care, of course. And I said, right, no, actually. And then it all came out, how she'd known, how Brian had known. And she just said, now, if there's anything I can do to help, because I told her what I was doing with the thread of my trust and where we were and how far I'd gone. And yeah. By then I'd seen Dr. Newman, and now it was to do with getting the proof and the evidence. Yeah. Not proof, that's the wrong word, evidence. So she said to me, I wanted to tell you. Mm. But she said, how could... I said, no. I said, I totally understand. Because the counsellor was puzzled that I didn't hold it against her exactly. But I said, oh no. I said, they knew that my mother's relationship with me had to be seen as the most important part.
Yes.
It would have been wrong to have done anything else.
To have taken that sort of decision away from your mother.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see that. Mm. It frustrated Dave, I think. He had, my partner, he had, you know, he had quite a few problems about that, I think. And his own family is so confused anyway, but you know, it's like, you know.
Now, you're mentioning Dave.
Yes, he doesn't appear, but he's not quite in the picture. He's almost there.
We've got to.
He turns up quite soon.
Well, we've got to go on to relationships.
You have.
Talk about relationships now, or we could take a quick break.
Well, I need.
How do you feel? Do you need a quick break?
I certainly need to do one thing that a quick break needs to do, and I also need to be a bit boring with medication as well. So
let's have a quick break.
And then, you know, if
you're, and then we're
you
go
bring
on
yourself
to
my. I mean, I know we're short of time, aren't we? Because you need, you know, you've only got an hour or so, aren't we?
Yeah.
I don't want to starve.
No.
Typical me. I just want to feed people. I'm known for this. Being a member of the WI, I always want to feed people.
I don't look starving, do I?
Oh, no. Well, I certainly don't.
Right, what causes that? Okay, Liz, it's time to talk about relationships.
Right.
When did you... First of all, have you ever found that your impairments affected your ability to find a partner?
I wouldn't have said so. No. I mean, I had boyfriend when I was at school, which, when I look back on it, is quite funny, because I mentioned being bullied earlier, and one of the reasons I was bullied by some of the girls was the fact that I had a boyfriend and they didn't, which is quite funny, really. Because I had a very innocent, hand-holding, on-and-off relationship with a boy 2 years ahead of me from when I was sort of, I don't know, 12 to 14 when I was at school, and this was thought to be a bad thing by some of my peers, because, you know, why has she got, and we haven't, and she's in a wheelchair, which is quite funny when I look back on it. But other than that... Then I went, when I was going through my evangelical phase, as I said, I wasn't really that interested. And when I was at college, I had a relationship in my first year. And I then had, and then I had a, then I didn't, I was too, I think the word I would, that's a funny way of putting it, I was almost too busy. But they were not fully, we're not talking here fully physical relationships.
No.
I'd had a couple of encounters in my teens, is how I would put it, and I discovered that I quite liked, if you like, a cuddle and a kiss. In fact, I did like it rather a lot. But I'd more than that, I hadn't really sort of gone into. And then I mentioned earlier on I'd been to see a gynecologist. Well, my other reason for going was at that time, was I had started a relationship with a guy who was married. This is where I have to start getting awfully careful here. Who was just a local man, shall we say. And we were having difficulties actually having sex. It wasn't working. And so I wanted to find out if there was any reason why it wasn't working.
Was that your first sexual relationship?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was in my early 20s. It was after I'd come back from college, so I was about 23. And that was my first. And the reason it hadn't happened before was because I hadn't looked for it. I hadn't wanted. I must have been about, 22, 23. It was quite soon after I came back from college, from uni. And I saw the gynecologist who said there was no reason why yes, I could have sex. There was nothing, there was no problem. And she gave me some very practical advice on how we might be able to succeed. And we did. That's how I would put it. And I discovered that I rather liked, sorry, that's a very awful thing to say, that it was rather good and I enjoyed it. Well, I said he was a married man. now, this is where it gets a bit murky. You could say, because he turned out to be the first of a few.
Married men.
Afraid so.
Not
nice of me, is it, really?
How did you happen to meet a married man?
Right, well, he was somebody whom I got to know. As I said, he was a local. I got to know him. He was the son-in-law of people I knew in the village, but the marriage was known to be not that a good one. He'd married their daughter because he'd made her pregnant, if that makes sense. And so that's not the right reason to marry anybody, I would argue quite strongly.
Marriage of convenience.
Very much so.
Yeah.
He's a very kind man. And I thought I was in love with him. Looking back on it now with the age of, I wasn't. I would now say that I have been in love 3 times in my life, one of which was the most important. I mean, that's me being very candid, and I must be very careful when this transcript comes. But that's the truth of the matter. And I think it's quite important because I do not know quite. I think I've found the physical side of love very exciting. And it was something that I don't know whether I didn't think I was going to be able to enjoy. I don't know. I do think that was part of it. I was fairly sure I didn't want children from quite a young age. I'm not maternal.
No.
I'm extremely fond of other people's children. That makes me sound slightly odd, but I don't mean it like that.
I think a lot of teachers are like that.
I was very, very close. The friend I was close to since I was 5, Diane, I mean, her 2 daughters. They were the nearest when they were growing up, fortunately, luckily for me, locally and in an accessible place, which was lovely. That led eventually in the June to my going to meet Dr. Newman. That led eventually in the June to my going to meet Dr. Newman. that led eventually in the June to my going to meet Dr. Newman. Dr. Newman.